This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And for our next story, there have been rumours, you might have heard, floating around about a possible no-confidence vote against Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. And these rumours, I think there have been whispers before, but they started hitting the headlines after a meeting between Tun M and PAS.
Now, on Tuesday, banners calling for Tun M's resignation appeared in Jalan Bangsa and Taman Permata. The banner said, Mahathir letak jawatan Anwar Ibrahim PM ke 8 demi selamatkan Malaysia. So Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil got the banners removed, at least in the ones in Jalan Bangsa. He believes they were put up by rivals of Pakatan Harapan.
So this is swirling around because of the idea that there might be a vote of no confidence being called. PAS have said, look, we're going to stand behind you in the event that that happens. But since then, everyone else is saying, well, no, there won't be. And Tun M, meanwhile, is saying, well, let's just wait and see. So there are a lot of different pieces of input that are entering the space, but we did want to try and understand what this would mean. So leaders from the coalition parties have come out to deny any sort of plot to overthrow Tun. For example, Bersatu President Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has said that there is a firm commitment and backing from all four parties in Pakatan.
DAP Secretary General Lim Guan Eng also echoed the same sentiment. Anwar Ibrahim had also said that the claims were aimed to cover up the issue of the 90 million ringgit PAS had allegedly received from UMNO.
So like we said, there are a lot of different pieces of input, different motivations being thrown around. But in the midst of it all, it's all focused around this idea that there might be a vote of no confidence called, and we wanted to understand how exactly that might work. So we have on the line constitutional lawyer Surendra Anand. Surendra, thanks for joining us. Can you explain what exactly a motion of no confidence means and the rationale behind why we have this provision?
Okay, so let's be clear. The constitution actually does not provide for this concept of a no confidence vote. What the constitution does say is this. Number one, it says that the Yang Dipertuan Agong shall appoint a person who, in his judgment, is likely to command the confidence of the majority of the members in the Dewan Rakyat. And number two, it also provides for what is to happen if the Prime Minister ceases to command that majority. Now, this no confidence vote notion comes into play in determining how do we decide if the Prime Minister has ceased to command that majority. Now, as I said earlier, it does not say how, but the no confidence vote is the most transparent and clearest way to determine if a prime minister has ceased to command that majority. So what normally happens is you would have a motion proposed by any member of the House. That motion will then be voted for in the Dewan Rakyat. And what you would require is a majority of the entire House. So in Dewan Rakyat, you have 222 members. You would require at least 112 members to pass that no confidence motion.
Are there specific situations in which that confidence is considered to be lost and where the no confidence vote can be triggered?
Well, there are no specific instances. Anyone is entitled to pass, to propose that motion to the Secretariat of the Dewan Rakyat, which will eventually at some point get called up. There are no specific scenarios that are needed to trigger the need for it. But what happens once that motion is passed is where the question is. So essentially, there are two things that can happen. So let's assume the motion is put for a vote and then it's passed. Two things can happen. Number one, the Prime Minister can request to the YDPA, the Yang Dipertuan Agong, to dissolve Parliament. The YDPA can either accept his request, which means Parliament will be dissolved and we'll have another round of elections, or he can say no. Now, if he says no, the Prime Minister has to tender the resignation of his entire cabinet. So then the YDPA will have to appoint a new prime minister, of course, a person whom he thinks commands the majority of the confidence of the House or the Dewan Rakyat.
So just to clarify then, it will be up to the Yang Dipertuan Agong to appoint the new prime minister and there will be no election?
Yeah, so let's assume for a moment if the no confidence vote is passed, if the Prime Minister requests for a dissolution and the YDPA says no, then at that point, yes, the YDPA will have to appoint a new Prime Minister.
And how long would this whole process take?
There are no time limits provided for. So if a motion is passed, at that point in time, he no longer holds the confidence of the majority. So at that stage itself, I would think that the YDPA would then have to move to appoint a new prime minister, assuming the current PM resigns. There is no specific time limit on when the YDPA needs to appoint the new prime minister, because it is not easy to determine which person is going to command the majority of the House, especially when you don't have a single party in the Dewan Rakyat that holds an absolute majority of more than 112 seats. What you have right now are coalition politics. You have a group of political parties that are forming up. So if, let's say, there is a divide between the coalition, it'll be quite difficult to determine which individual actually holds the confidence of the majority of the House. So it might take some time.
At what levels can the vote of no confidence take place? Is it just for the Prime Minister, or does it apply at the state level as well?
It can also take place because the manner in which the Prime Minister is picked and when he's removed or he resigns applies to all states as well. So, for example, you had scenarios where in Sabah, Sarawak and Perak, where the Chief Minister loses the confidence of the majority. The most recent one was in Perak, for example. I think it was Dato' Sri Zambri who lost the confidence of the majority, because three members from the opposite, from PKR, if I'm not mistaken, they jumped to BN. So that was the case where he no longer commanded the majority. But just to be clear, in the Perak case, the federal court actually said that a vote of no confidence is not the only way you can determine if a chief minister or a head loses the confidence of the majority. There are other ways you can determine it as well. But obviously, a vote of no confidence is the most clearest way you can do it for two reasons. Number one, we all know what happens in Parliament. It's in public and it's transparent. Number two, we know which MP has switched his allegiance and we can hold him accountable for his decision.
You mentioned that a motion of no confidence is the clearest way to decide whether the Prime Minister still holds the confidence of the majority. What are other potential methods besides this?
Well, to give an example, let's look at the Perak case, for example. What you had there was you had three MPs who were with the state government. They wrote private letters, if I'm not mistaken, to the Agong, clearly indicating that they no longer supported the chief minister and they supported another individual. So, and in that case, the federal court said that that was sufficient evidence for the YDPA to make the determination that the chief minister no longer had the confidence of the majority. So letters were acceptable. But the federal court, if I'm not mistaken, did not close the door. Other forms of evidence could also be possible. That decision is slightly controversial. I respectfully don't agree with it, but that's the law as it stands.
Surendra, thank you very much for the explainer. That was constitutional lawyer Surendra Anath giving us a 101 about how the no confidence vote would work. We're talking about this, well, basically because there have been rumours and speculations circling around. If you've got any thoughts, you can send them through. You can also keep your thoughts coming about the issue of discipline in schools, as well as telling us, you know, what is your relationship like to your mother tongue? It is International Mother Language Day. You've got two bananas on air trying to make ourselves feel better by talking to others who are in the same boat. Again, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733-2900.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.